The epistle is taken from the first letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he had promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was born to him according to the flesh of the offspring of David, who was foreordained Son of God by an act of power in keeping with the holiness of his Spirit by resurrection of the dead, in Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received the grace of apostleship to bring about obedience to faith among all the nations for his name's sake, among whom are you also called to be Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the gospel. When Mary, the mother of Jesus, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. But Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wishing to expose her to reproach, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Do not be afraid, Joseph, son of David, to take you to you Mary, your wife, for that which was begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Every Christmas Eve, I'm reminded of an incident that was told to me many years ago in the 90s while I was still a seminarian. Before I went to the seminary, I was living in Syracuse, New York, and I used to go to the parish there, Sacred Heart. And I would visit there during my breaks in the seminary, and one summer, the pastor there, who's since passed away, he was elderly then, told me a story, told me he related an incident that had happened many years earlier when he was a young priest at that parish. So it would have been the 1950s. And the pastor at that time was an older gentleman. He had a great, older priest, he had a great devotion to St. Joseph. And he said it was Christmas Eve, and the priest sat down to dinner. They had a dinner. There was about three or four assistants with the pastor. They were sitting at dinner, Christmas Eve, and there was a knock on the door. The pastor said, "Fathers, continue eating. I'll go see who's at the door." And they could hear him at the front door, where the dining room was right near the front door. And they could hear him talking. Then they could see him pass by. There were two doors of the dining room that exit into this hall. They could see him pass by the one door, pass by the other door, and then go make a right towards the side door of the rectory, which is where the priests exit and enter from the church. They could see him then come back, and they passed one door, he passed the next door, and he's carrying the brand new overcoat that his sister had bought him for Christmas and just given him like that day. He had an older overcoat that was pretty worn and shabby, and his sister for Christmas had bought him this new overcoat. And he walks to the front door, and they could hear him talking at the front door for a moment. And then he came and he sat down at table without his overcoat. And the fathers asked, "Well, who was at the door?" And the pastor said, "Oh, it was an elderly man." He said, "Well, what did he want? What did he say?" And the pastor said, "All he said was, 'It's very cold out.'" And they said, "So you gave him your overcoat?" He said, "Yeah." So "Why did you give him your new overcoat? Why didn't you just give him the old one? That was a gift from your sister." And he said, "It's Christmas Eve. St. Joseph goes around the world knocking on doors, seeking charity." And Father said, and the other priest, we looked at each other and we gave a chuckle and we said, "But your new overcoat." Christmas Eve is St. Joseph's special day in Advent. He really isn't talked about much during this season. If you look at the Christmas carols, He's only maybe mentioned in two of them, and usually in like the fourth or fifth verse that nobody really sings. When we look at the readings, normally he's just there, just mentioned. He's in the manger, but always takes a background to all the action. Except for tonight, or except for today, I guess I should say, Christmas Eve, because the reading, and if you notice, the reading is actually an incident that occurred very early. It doesn't occur right before the birth of our Lord. It's when St. Joseph first sees that Our Lady is pregnant. So this would have been 6 or 7 or 8 months previous to this. But it highlights his important role. Now, sometimes people get confused on this reading. And even some of the saints, early commentators, there are a little bit of a debate as to what exactly is going on. The minor view is that St. Joseph thinks Our Lady is unfaithful. But most of the saints will say, no, that's not correct. Because the gospel says clearly that St. Joseph was a just man. So he's going to put her away privately. Now, at first glance, that seems to be the fact that he's just. He's not going to, make a big deal out of this. But that's not correct. Because he's a just man, if he were a just man, then he would have followed the Old Testament rules on infidelity, and that is stoning. But it says, because he was a just man, he was just going to put her away quietly. And so because of this, many of the commentators, many of the saints, say St. Joseph knew exactly what was going on. He knew that she was very holy. He knew that because of that, she didn't do any kind of sin. So he knew that what was happening was something very special. He knew Our Lady was special. And so when it said he was a just man, he realized that really this woman doesn't really need my help. She is very holy. Clearly something special is happening here. I'm just going to leave you, Mary, quietly. The angels will take care of you. God will take care of you. I'm just going to retire humbly back to my simple life and leave God to take care of you. And that's when the angel appeared to him in his dream and said, no, do not be afraid to take her for your wife. Why? Because it was God's will that he would grow up in a family. Christ is like us in all things except sin. That means even as a little child, even as a little boy, Christ needed to grow up in a family as God intended each child to grow up. Little children are not little adults. They are children and they need their parents. They need their parents to take care of them, to care for them, to teach them how to be a responsible adult. How to be if it's a woman, or if it's a girl, how to be a woman. If it's a boy, how to be a man. And God wants children to learn the proper roles in the family. One man and one woman together with the children. So many commentators will point this out and say that Christ did not need a family. Of course, he's God. But he wanted to be like us in all things except sin. And so even though St. Joseph was not his biological father, it was God's will that he be the father of Jesus. To be the one who would teach Christ, the Son of God, how to be a man. To be that role model for him. To be that protector for him of the family. We can imagine then on this night, St. Joseph and Our Lady in Bethlehem. St. Joseph knocking on the doors of his relatives and friends, asking for help. My wife is here. She's about to deliver. Do you not have a place for us? No. We can imagine Our Lady waiting as St. Joseph went around town, looking for a place. And there was none. St. Joseph knocking on doors, seeking charity. Until eventually, one person, we don't know who it is. There's not even a tradition as to whose stable that was. Allowed him and Our Lady to then spend the time in the stable. Now, normally we have a little structure here, like our manger scene. Tradition is it was a cave. There's a lot of caves in the Holy Land, and they would only go back about 15 feet. It was a cave with a little structure in front over the entrance, and that they were able to stay there with the animals, that little act of charity. But St. Joseph, we can imagine him accepting God's will for him. Yes, the angels could have taken care of Mary. The angels could have taken care of the baby Jesus. Baby Jesus could have taken care of himself. But it was God's will that St. Joseph fulfill the role of father and husband. St. Joseph was the model of manhood for the Son of God. He is a very holy and great saint. And in this day, today, our society, where it seems like there's a war on manhood and a war on fatherhood and a war on the family itself, it is good for us to turn to St. Joseph and remember him, to pray for him, to ask him for his intercession in our families and in our society, that we would recognize God's plan for the family. You know, Father Gleba, the pastor of that church in Syracuse, you know, he mentioned, you know, the church there. It's actually a big church. It seats 800 people. Has five altars in the front. The main altar, the ceiling probably goes up about, about 70 feet. And there's then two sets of side altars on either side. He said that when we processed into midnight mass, now remember this was before there was vigil masses, so they had dinner and then they prepared and then they went in for midnight mass. He says, as we were processing in, I was next to my friend, another priest, and he nudged me as we're processing in. And he said, look at the St. Joseph altar. And there to the right of the main altar is the altar of St. Joseph. And the statue of St. Joseph was about 20 feet in the air. It's still there. And he said, over the shoulders of that statue, 20 feet in the air, as we processed into midnight mass, was that overcoat. And he said, I do not know how that coat got up there, but I will say one thing. That St. Joseph goes around the world on Christmas Eve, knocking on doors, seeking charity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.